Okay, that leaves us with paper 12. Paper 9.
Take it away.
Perfect, thank you. So we move on to paper 9 now, which deals with accounting for payments made by an operator to a grantor in a service concession arrangement. So the committee has discussed this issue over several meetings in the past. It had reached conclusion on several items of those payments, but when the payments to be made by the operator are variable and the intangible asset model under IFRIC 12 is applicable to the arrangement, the committee noted that the issue is linked to the broader issue of accounting for variable payments for asset purchases. The committee reached a conclusion at its meeting in November that the issue on variable payments for asset purchases was too broad for it to address, and consequently issued a tentative agenda decision on that issue. It also discussed whether it could develop a solution for the accounting for payments by an operator separately within the confines of IFRIC 12. However, committee members had mixed views, and the conclusion reached at the November meeting was that this issue was also too broad for the committee to address. And as directed by the committee, we have prepared draft wording for tentative agenda decision for consideration by the committee. And we would like to ask for your thoughts on the proposed wording that we have presented in Appendix A of the paper.
Tony?
So a couple of thoughts, and I do understand where we got to the last time, but I guess my overarching thought is whether or not service concessions are sufficiently similar to the other things that we've talked about. And the thing that crosses my mind when I think about them is, when we talked about variable payments for other assets previously, there were two schools of thought. We were split 7-7. But the people that argued there's no financial liability would argue that the buyer can simply not use the asset it's bought. Therefore, it has an unconditional right to avoid making payments. When you've got a service concession, that doesn't exist. Typically, if you've signed up to provide a service concession, you've got to provide the service concession. And so one of the arguments that make it grey when it's a variable payment for other assets don't exist. And I don't think the agenda decision explains that fact away. So I think that's actually quite a significant difference between a service concession and a variable payment to buy other assets. And so I think if we're going to go ahead with this, I do think we need to explain why that difference in the facts does not mean it's something that we could address. That wasn't very elegantly put. I guess my second thought is there's a very clear statement that payments to the grantor when the operator has a right to charge the public are payments for the concession right. Now, I think there are circumstances where that could be a simple pass-through. So I'm allowed to charge $100, and I keep $100. There's an extra 10 on top, and that's passed straight through, almost like it was a levy or a sales tax or whatever. So I'm not sure it's completely clear that a payment that's made by the operator to the grantor will always be a payment for the asset. It might be, but I think you'd need to look at the circumstances to determine whether it was a pass-through. And then lastly, this is more drafting, it says contractual payments are linked to the right to use an asset. That has to be an asset other than the service concession, otherwise you wouldn't get into leasing at all. So that's more of a drafting comment than anything else, but those are my observations on where we've got to.
Reinhardt?
I agree overall with the staff analysis as well as with the agenda decision, and so I'm fine with it.
Carl.
Like Reinhardt, I also agree with the tentative agenda decision. I think it's fair enough. It's a fair wording given the inconclusive discussions regarding variable payments in the last 4 years.
Patty?
I agreed with the staff conclusion and the tentative agenda decision.
Mikhail.
I agree with the staff recommendation.
Yongsu.
Yeah, I also agree with the proposed wording. I have no further comments.
Fei Long.
I generally agree with the staff analysis, but I hope they could work on the issue a bit more, about the rejected wording, I still have some concerns. The current proposed rejection wording doesn't state whether it is a liability or not explicitly. And I think probably the rejecting wording for the November meeting more context and more meaningful.
Okay, so you would be in the same camp with Tony as wanting some additional explanation around it?
Mm-hmm. I'm not here clear what Tony said, because my system sounds not very good. So I'm not very clear here, but very clear what they are.
Okay. Could I ask then that you give us some thoughts by email to the staff about how this could be improved?
Okay.
Bruce?
I'm happy with the agenda decision. No comments from me.
Okay. John?
Two comments. I mean, I agree with Tony's point. I think including the paragraph referring to the variable payments gives the impression that because we couldn't reach consensus on the variable payments, that anything goes on the accounting for variable payments in the service concession arrangement. I think in many cases those variable payments are not within the control of the concession operator, and therefore they would be a financial liability even though they're variable. When the committee discussed the accounting for variable payments, most of the disagreement was around the issue of those payments that were dependent upon the purchaser's future activity, and many people believe that those were, many of the committee members believe that those were not a liability because the purchaser had the discretion to avoid making those payments. I think Tony's point that in many service concession arrangements, the operator has no discretion whatsoever about making the road or bridge or tunnel available to the public, and therefore payments that are based upon those revenues are not actually payments that are within the control of the purchaser or at the discretion of the concession operator. So it seems to me that including this paragraph in here may mislead some people into believing that there's actually a choice as to whether you recognize a liability or don't recognize a liability in respect of these payments, which I actually don't think is correct. The second point on the agenda decision is just a small point. We use the word distinct to talk about whether the payments give the operator a right to a good or service that's separate from the concession arrangement. I think because the word distinct is used in a different context in IFRS 15 to talk about distinct goods or services, it would be better to find a different word, because here we're talking about distinct with a different notion, which is goods or services that are separate from the service concession arrangement. So maybe a word like separate or some similar word would be better than the word distinct.
John, can you help me out? I'm having trouble understanding specifically where in the agenda decision you believe we're creating not the distinct, but the earlier point you made. Control and whether or not we had a liability.
The second, the penultimate paragraph, where we make reference to the fact that the It says the Interpretations Committee noted that when the payments made to be made by the operator are variable and the intangible asset model is applicable to the arrangement, the issue is linked to the broader issue of accounting for variable payments for asset purchases.
And what would you prefer in the
place of that?
I think that's what the committee said.
My concern with that is that we didn't really have any debate about whether in a service concession arrangement those variable payments that are dependent upon the public use of the concession assets are actually within the control of the purchaser. And in many cases, just because they're variable, to me is not the relevant factor. It's actually whether the purchaser has the discretion to actually avoid making those payments.
All right, I take your point.
I think the staff is getting that noted down.
So pending that, you would support it?
Pending that, you would support it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Sandy?
Yeah, I'd support it. I'm fine.
Okay. Charlotte?
Charlotte?
Just a minute while I fire up my screen here. It always goes blank on me. Charlotte?
I support it. I'm fine with it.
Okay. Philippe, I'll get back to you later. Martin?
Well, I believe in the case that we're talking about paying domestic purchases. So, purchaser of the concession has to perform, thus, has to provide a specific service. So, concession fees are variable, the amount of that fees do not depend on the purchase of activities, but on behavior of the third party. So, more or less, I'm sounding Tony's view. And I believe it is challenging to say we are not going to cover this topic because we believe it depends on the broader issue of variable payment. I believe it is, in a way, specific. At least we have to have much more wording. I believe that the outcome could be different, but we do not take it on our agenda.
Okay. So you would be in the same camp with Tony?
Yes.
Okay. Bob?
I also agree with the points that Tony made, and incrementally, I really struggled with observation C in the agenda decision. With respect to C1 and C2, and I suspect some of these discussions predate me, I really struggled. I don't disagree with the analysis, I don't disagree with the conclusions, but I really struggled with what was the basis for these conclusions as to who is the customer in each of the two situations, and whether we can point to something that indicates that. And that caused me to question that if we can't really point to something specific in the literature, are these really interpretations or are these agenda decisions? So that's one point. I also struggled with how to make C3 operational. It tells me to compare the fair value of the services with the amount that you have the contractual right to receive, but then do what? There's no if-then statement. Compare, but then doesn't tell me how to then make that determination, whether it represents an adjustment of the overall revenue or it's for the intangible asset. So I think we need to do more work on three, and what's the basis again for that comparison, and why are we doing it? So overall, it's not that I object to this, I'm still struggling with some of the concepts behind this.
Okay. Andrew?
Yeah, I largely agree with the agenda decision. I do agree with Tony and some others that the paragraph referring to a right of use needs to be, some attention needed there, that needs to be conformed with AG 8 of IFRIC 12. And it should also be acknowledged that the operator might just be collecting cash as agent, for the grantor and passing it through. Mr. Tony. I understand what those who've commented on the penultimate paragraph and variable payments, some have suggested we get into discussion about whether the operator has the ability to not use the asset and therefore to avoid generating the obligations to the grantor. I don't object to putting in some words along those lines, but I think they're going to be very carefully crafted, because not everyone on this committee actually agrees that that is a determinative factor on whether you have a liability or not. I mean, personally, I think it might be a determinative factor, but I'm somewhat on the fence. But any implication that that's what makes the difference between the existence and non-existence of a financial liability, I think, is a potentially problematic and would need careful attention.
Okay, do our observers have anything to add?
No, thank you.
No.
Okay. Well, I see a general support, but with requests to explain. Oh, excuse me, Philippe. I'm sorry. I forgot about you there.
Yeah, I find the wording a bit confusing. Page one, we start by saying accounting for contractual payments to be made by an operator, right? And we continue talking about contractual payments. And then when we come to paragraph C, little I and little II, we talk about concession payments. We switch from contractual payments to concession payments without explaining the reason for the switch. Do we mean the same thing? Are we still talking about contractual payments? If so, why change the words? Because to me, concession payments are payments made by the grantor to the operator, not by the operator to the grantor. Right? And I think that using concession payments in little I and little II is creating confusion about which payments we are talking of.
It's a payment pursuant to the concession arrangement, so the same thing as the sorry, the same thing as the contractual payments.
Okay, so maybe continue to use contractual payments to avoid creating a confusion.
Correct.
Second issue regarding the case in little CI, I was asking myself, is there any situation where potentially the operator is making a loan to the grantor, is providing finance to the grantor under the concession agreement to help the grantor build, for instance, the asset that will be a subject of the concession? Then we would have a financial transaction, a loan, separate from the operations, but under the same contract, concession contracts. Then why would you adjust revenue in that case and not record it as a loan? So I'm asking whether this situation has been considered, and whether in the case of a loan transaction, a lending by the operator to the grantor for financing the asset, that would fall under a little I, or would be a different situation, and which is not discussed in this agenda decision.
If it was a financing arrangement, would it fall under A, where it's a payment made for a distinct good or service, in this case the financing service, and therefore it will be accountable
separately? The operator has no right to good or service in that case. The operator is lending money to the grantor for the grantor to construct the asset. Then there is a concession on this asset. But it's part of the same, maybe same contract, same service concession contract, which has a financing part and an operation part. Then I don't think the operator has any right to good or services under that. It's not distinct from the service concession agreement. So, to me, I'm asking this question, has this been analyzed? I don't think so, it's not discussed here. So.
When we looked at this some years ago now, it might have been as long as 3 years ago now, we went through all, you know, the different scenarios and looking at the different payments to and from and so on. And that's how we ended up with this particular assessment of it.
Yeah, but it seems to me that there might be situations where those payments in the contract might not necessitate an adjustment to revenue when they clearly are financing. So, or maybe just maybe refresh the memories
in the paper thing.
We looked at it and we concluded that in every situation, in every case, you have to adjust revenue. But asking why then?
Yeah, no, it's something along the lines of sort of a netting down of cash flows going in two opposite directions that could be seen as an attempt to sort of gross up revenue.
Maybe you would have to consider the unbundling of the two elements of this contract.
Well, I guess what Philippe's asking is a question of fact. Did we or didn't we?
we can look it up.
Yeah.
We'll look it up and get back to you.
Yeah, maybe remind us in the paper, next paper, all of this.
All right. I see a lot of support except for people who say, yeah, I'm with Tony. So I'd like to ask some of those people to help. Who hasn't already been volunteered? Tony, you've already been
volunteered. Tony, you've Andrew, already been volunteered. Andrew, you've already been volunteered.
I do.
I'll help.
South.
I'll help.
John.
South.
Yeah.
Power South. Power South. Power South. Power South. Power South.
Okay.